want to talk about the election. Fun, right? I want to tell you what I think about it. I want to tell you, I think there's actually a biblical application to it too. First of all, what I think about it. I think we got robbed. I think that there was a lot of cheating and corruption, more so than we've seen in the past. That's my personal opinion. And for those of you who are discouraged about the outcome, which my guess is would be the vast majority of people here, I want to tell you that even though a network has projected, Biden as president, and he has acknowledged or announced that he is, that doesn't make him president. There are still a lot of issues to be decided, legal issues. So for those of you who are discouraged about it, first of all, I want to say don't give up. I know that on, was it Friday night, there was Supreme Court has made some requirements to one of the states, I think it's Pennsylvania, to do certain things to prove that their voting was up above board. And I haven't heard in the last 24 hours. They were supposed to report back by 2 o'clock, I think, on Saturday. I haven't heard. Maybe somebody knows something about that. But I'm just saying, do not give up yet. That's my first thing. Second thing, I'm going to assume for the rest of my talk that Biden won. And how does that impact us as a nation? I want to talk a little bit about that, and I believe that I was doing some studying in the Bible, and interestingly enough, there's a passage in the Bible that I think is very relevant to what's going on. It's in, if you have your Bible, 2 Chronicles chapter 26. When you get there, you're going to see that there is a picture in the Bible of President Trump. I know you didn't think he was in the Bible, but I think you'll see when you get there, and I talk about it a little bit, that is a pretty good picture of President Trump. I want to talk a little bit about him, the picture that is shown of him, and how I'll wrap this up afterwards with, a very practical application. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, starting somewhere around verse 6 or 7. And the person in the Bible that is amazingly similar to President Trump is a king named Uzziah. You may not remember much about him. He has, in one part of the Bible, he's called Uzziah. And I think that's in 2 Kings, in 2 Chronicles, it's Uzziah, same person though. I want to tell you a little bit about him before we start reading about him. He was a good king in Israel. He was probably morally, he was probably second only to King David in his devotion to the Lord, his love for the Lord, King Uzziah. He reigned 52 years. That's the second longest reign of any king in the Bible. The longest was King Manasseh, who reigned for 55 years. But 55, 52, after that, it was, you know, King David and Solomon both reigned 40 years, and then most of their reigns were much shorter than that. So he reigned a really long time. He was a really good king. I want to tell you some of the things that he did. His father's name was King Amaziah. His mother's name was Jecholiah. And he was the father to King Jotham. You may have remembered that name too. So that's kind of where he fits in. He's in the middle of the kings, latter half of the kings. Very interesting guy. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 26 that he did right. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord as his father Amaziah had done. Now, why do I say that his personality and his talent matches President Trump. Well, he is known in the Bible, he is known to be a very intelligent and innovative king who, under his rule, the country prospered greatly. Second only, probably, to King Solomon. This was a time, this 52 years that he reigned, the country's economy was booming. It was doing great. They were doing well against their enemies. They built up the military. They did all sorts of things. It was a good time to be alive in the kingdom of Israel during the reign of King Uzziah. Now, what are some of the specific things that he did? First of all, he was used by God to defeat the Philistines and the Arabs. That's in verse 7 there. How is that similar to Donald Trump? Well, during Donald Trump's reign, you might recall, he basically got the North Korean president to stop. He was on the road to launching a nuclear attack against South Korea, Kim Jong-un. And President Trump got him to back off. President Trump got Russia and China basically to back off, too. I mean, from foreign policy-wise, he did very well, just as King Uzziah defeated the Philistines and the Arabs. That would have been Saudi Arabia at the time. What else did he do? He built fortified towers and strengthened the armies of Judah. Fortified towers. When I hear fortified towers, I think of the wall. He built the wall. He said he was going to build the wall, and that fortified our southern border. It says he strengthened the armies of Judah. When President Trump came into office, our military was really in sad shape. It had been depleted. The resources, the parts, the planes, the tanks, all that stuff were really out of date. And he spent a whole lot of money to get the military up to grade, as King Uzziah did. That's in verse 9 and verse 14. If you're looking for that, he basically strengthened the military, built the wall. Now, it also says that he commissioned, listen to this, he commissioned skilled men to create devices that could shoot arrows and large stones at enemies from the city walls. That's verse 15. He commissioned skilled men to create devices that could shoot arrows and large stones at enemies of the wall. What is that doing? He advanced military capabilities. He went to the next level in inventing military devices that were needed at the time. What has President Trump done during his time? He advanced our military system. We have planes and bombs and different type of military missiles that we didn't have before he came in. We don't even know what they are. They keep them under wraps, but we know that there are a lot more that have kept our enemies from attacking us because they are afraid of what might happen if they do that. So, similar to King Uzziah, he was advanced in his warfare and in the missile systems. It says he also built up the land. And the Bible says that he loved the soil. Well, what was Donald Trump before he became president? He was a builder. What is the soil? The soil is real estate. So he seems to have all of these parallels to King Uzziah. He also has, let me finish up here. Verse 10 says he loved the soil. It says the Ammonites paid tribute to King Uzziah, and his fame spread all over the ancient world as far as the border of Egypt. Countries paid tribute. What has President Trump done during his time? He has convinced all of the NATO members to pay their fair share for the protection of North Atlantic countries. This was not done before him. So he is getting people to pay up where they should pay up. And finally, it says that his fame spread all over the ancient world. I don't have to tell you that he's probably, whether you like him or not, he's probably the most famous president in recent times, and he is certainly well known by all of the other leaders around the world. So you see the comparison between President Trump and King Uzziah. One other comparison, I think we would all agree that President Trump has a certain boldness to his personality. I'm going to try to be kind. Some would call it pride. Some would say it's not pride. But I can certainly see how people would call it pride. A certain balderdash or about the way he presents things. He presents things, everything he does is the greatest that's ever been done. The food he makes, his places make is the most tastiest. The restaurants are the swankiest, on and on and on. Everything he does is the best. The golf course he plays are the best golf courses in the world, so he says. So he has that reputation of telling people he's perhaps more important than he is. I think we can agree on that. Now, in King Uzziah's later years, he had a problem with that too. He decided later on in his reign, when he became so powerful and so important, that he was going to enter into the temple and offer sacrifices in the temple. Now, he crossed the line there because he basically went against the law of God and said, I'm going to do something I'm not authorized to do by the law of God. Everybody knew that was up to the priests and the high priest, not him. He went in, he did it anyway, and as a result, in his end days, he got leprosy from doing that. And they quickly rushed him out of the temple. I mean, it was instantaneous leprosy. I say that to say that there's so many comparisons between the two, both in their personality and in their record that they did throughout their reigns. Now, why do I comment on that? Why do I take the time to compare King Uzziah to President Trump? It's because of a verse in Isaiah. You don't have to turn it. It's one quick verse. I'll just read it to you. Isaiah 6, chapter 1, which says this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. That's Isaiah talking. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Side note, Isaiah chapter 6, even though it's six chapters into the book, it's really the beginning of the book. This is the first thing that happened in Isaiah's role as a prophet. Before Isaiah 6:1, he was just a regular person. God called him to be a prophet here in Isaiah 6:1. So it's actually kind of the beginning of his ministry. His ministry began in the year that King Uzziah died. King Uzziah, the same King Uzziah that we just talked about. Why is that significant? It's significant because the people loved King Uzziah. He had a following. I'm sure he had his detractors too, but he had a loyal following within the country, and he did some really wonderful things. And I believe that the people of the land at that time had put their faith in King Uzziah. They liked the way the economy was going. They liked the fact that their enemies had dispersed and were staying far away from their borders. And then all of a sudden, King Uzziah died. Think about for a minute how it would have shaken their confidence. They didn't know how his son was going to rule as king, King Jotham. They didn't know anything. So their confidence would have been shaken. And God picked this time to raise a prophet up, the prophet Isaiah, arguably the most important prophet in the history of the country of Israel, Isaiah. He's got the biggest book on prophecy. He's got the most important prophecies. He's got prophecies about the Messiah. He's got all sorts of different things that Isaiah speaks of. He's probably the most well-respected prophet that was during the entire time. And God said, when am I going to bring Isaiah on the scene? And he said, I'm going to bring him on the year that King Uzziah died. The year that the people who were trusting in their king had their foundation shaken by the king dying. I think you maybe see the parallel starting to form here. I think perhaps the same thing may be happening right now. There are people who really like Trump. There are people who were secure under his presidency, and they have been shaken by the results of this election. I know they are, because I know I've been rattled myself, and Karen's been rattled by it. This verse tells me that God is still on the throne. And that in the year that King Uzziah died, you could just as easily change that to say, in the year that President Trump was defeated, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. What am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you that our faith, our confidence, should not be on a man. It should be on the Lord. Doesn't mean we don't like him. Doesn't mean we don't want him to be president. Doesn't mean we don't support him. Maybe go to his rallies. Maybe contribute to his campaigns. All those kind of things. But our confidence, the basis for our belief, is in the Lord. And the Lord is on the throne. And sometimes what we have on the throne has to get knocked off for us to see that the Lord is on the throne and to recommit ourselves to what is truly we should be following, and that's the Lord. So God chose this time to introduce Isaiah. Who knows that he's not choosing this time in America to introduce another leader to come forth to bring America back to God. We got problems a whole lot worse than who won the election in our country. And we need to be brought back to the Lord. And I'm hoping that through people being shaken by what's going on, they will turn back to the Lord. And that's what's most important. We know we've just gone through a whole prophecy series, end time series, and we've learned that before Jesus comes, things are going to get really, really bad in this world. Who knows that God's not starting those events now? I don't know. I'm just saying that if God chooses this to be the event to start persecution of the church, you know, all sorts of anti-God type things, maybe this is God's way of cranking that up. I don't know. But I do know that we need to focus our eyes on the Lord, not on mankind. I don't know what this next 4 years are going to hold. Still don't even know who's going to be president. But whoever it is, if it turns out to be President Trump, we should not put our faith and our confidence in him. We should put it in the Lord. If it turns out to be President Biden, we should not put our faith and confidence in him. We should put it in the Lord. Either way, let me close with this all-important verse. Daniel chapter 2, verse 21 says this. By the way, when Daniel says this, he's under the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. He's just been taken to Babylon. He's been ripped out of Jerusalem, kidnapped, made a eunuch, taken to Babylon, and forced to serve under a foreign king. Now, that's a lot of things that aren't good. With that, Daniel says this. He interpreted the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar, and before he even went to tell the king the interpretation, he praises God, and he says this. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others." What is Daniel saying? Daniel's saying that we think we're putting the people on the throne or in the presidency. No, he says, it ain't us. It's God. He recognized, even though he could have been bitter about being in Babylon, bitter about serving under a foreign king. He said, I recognize that God put this man here, put Nebuchadnezzar here. And whoever the president winds up being, God put that man in office. We do the best we can. It's kind of a, you know, the old, is it God's will or is it works by us? It's a combination. We do the best we can by voting, but really, in reality, God is sovereign and he does what he's going to do and he puts the people in office that he's going to put in office. So, there's my comments on the election. I hope I haven't offended anybody who might disagree with me, but I like to call them like I see them. And the most important thing, if you disagree with 90% of what I said today, please agree with me on this, that God is in charge. God puts the man on the throne that he wants to put on the throne. We need to recognize that, remember that, and put our faith and our trust in him and not in mankind. Amen? All right. Well, next time, what we're going to do is we're going to get back into Acts, and we left Paul in, I believe, Athens last time, and we're going to go over his sermon that he preached in Athens in the Forum at Mars Hill. You know, Mars Hill College right up the road is named after the place where Paul's going to be speaking next week here in Acts. So you might want to, it's Acts chapter 17, you might want to start reading that ahead of time. Very interesting passage that he's going to be preaching on. And we're going to look at that message in Paul's sermon on there. And just if you want a little preview, there's something missing in Paul's message. And I want you to read his message. It's great. It sounds wonderful. But if you search it deeply, you'll find something missing. So that's your homework for this week. See if you can find out what's missing in Paul's message to the Athenians. It's probably, I think, the longest recorded sermon that Paul has. So it's a couple paragraphs long. But look at it, and we'll talk about that next week. But let's close in prayer now. Father, we acknowledge you as being creator of everything and in charge of everything and in control of everything. And, Lord, we get our little feelings hurt so easily, and we get distracted so easily from remembering these things. But, Lord, we as Walnut Grove here want you to know that we trust you, and that our faith and our confidence is in you. It's not in any man. We may be disappointed, and perhaps we should be disappointed when things don't go in a direction that seem to be in your direction. But we don't always know what you're doing, Lord. You've got plans that we cannot possibly understand. You say that your ways are not our ways, and your thoughts are not our thoughts. And we just, by faith, we're going to believe that. We're going to believe that you have the right man that you want on the throne, and that we're going to do our best, Lord, to put our confidence and our faith in you and obey the laws of the land, and whenever possible to submit to all government authorities. Only when it directly violates one of your commands will we violate the laws of our country, Lord. But other than that, we're going to submit to the people that you have placed in authority. We pray these things in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.